Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
With Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
If I can change and you can change, everybody can change.
On 1080, The Fan.
Good morning. It's Monday and we're back. 16th of October. It felt like a real first fall weekend we've had. We said the fall was in the air last week over the course of the week, but my goodness, it really felt like it over the weekend that we had fog. It was kind of dreary to wake up, and then you had the clouds burn off and beautiful fall days.
It's very nice. Enjoyed the weekend. For what you thought you knew going into the weekend, did you really know it was going to be this kind of weekend?
The weather may have been good, but it wasn't a good weekend for all the Pac-12 fans out there.
You know what? As bad as you can look at this thing and glass half full, glass half empty, I am ecstatic the way it turned out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Explain
it's one of those
yourself,
things. No, there's not enough time to explain it. We'll delve into it.
Oh,
there's a lot of interesting things that need to happen in college football, and I am praying and hoping that this year is one of those years, and it happened thus far.
You're buying into my chaos theory that
not just chaos. Chaos affects change, and I think the change in asking certain and I tweeted the 18 to 21 year olds to be consistent and think you know what you had at 18 to 21.
You have no idea.
You have no idea.
No, it's like the start to a 30 for 30. You think you know?
You have no idea.
You have no idea.
Even in the NFL, guess what? You reap what you sow.
Yeah, the NFL again. Another tough weekend for those guys. But it is.
And Major League Baseball is great.
You kind of wake up and you go, whew,
yeah. And
great
Major League Baseball
weekend.
Is great.
You know what?
Houston Astros.
I will
SOB.
Say, yeah, the Major League Baseball couldn't go in much better than it is right now.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Okay. This is my limb to stand on. The Houston Astros will be.
Don't say it.
The 2017 World Champions.
No. All right, great. That's a kiss of death.
It's not a kiss of death. I don't make predictions like that.
Yes,
when have I ever
made it about the Indians.
No, I didn't.
In the middle of their win streak.
No, I never said that they would be World Series champs. I'd say they'd be one of the best teams in the play. Well, they're not in anymore. There's only four teams left. I have to pick one. I'm picking one. They feel that good. And so if it doesn't happen, then I don't look that bad.
Great.
Nobody cares up here.
Great.
A few.
Yes, they do.
All one of you.
There's two other people
that
are Astros fans up here that I know of. Okay. So to Potter and the other guy on Twitter who hits me up.
The other one.
We're
feeling good. How many people
good.
Are in the Portland metro area?
Don't
is there like 2 million
Cam,
people?
Don't worry about
There's
it.
There's only three?
Don't worry about
is
it.
Is there any? Okay.
But the Major League Baseball postseason, top to bottom, has been great. Drama in all of the games. This weekend that we still need to dive into as well. So let's not waste any time. Let's get to it.
I remember it was just like yesterday.
Speaking of baseball, 2003, Aaron Boone got his nickname, which I think is a great nickname, Aaron Effin' Boone. On this date, because he hit a walk-off home run in Game 7 of the ALCS to vault the Yankees past the Red Sox 6-5. Isn't that the day we all thought that the curse of the Bambino would never end?
Yes.
Because it was like that was the Red Sox series to lose. They had Tim Wakefield on the hill. Wakefield been pitching great. And then, boom, Aaron Boone lofts one over the seats. And we said, they're never going to win it. Little did we know it'd only take 1 year.
Only take one more year. and bloody socks.
Yeah, they would erase a deficit of their own that was unsurmountable and end up winning a World Series after that. So on this date, though, Aaron Boone with a moonshot. Steroids.
Well, that was Brett Boone that did all the steroids. It's his brother.
Yeah.
Second basemen aren't supposed to hit that many home runs. Oh, wait. Today. Little elves hit that home runs too.
Scott and the Coup. Welcome aboard, Astros fan. See? Four.
Since 1980, he says?
Four.
Wow, okay, four.
There's four of us
now. There's 2 million people in this area.
Huh?
2 million.
It's okay. Scott and the Coup will find somebody else, and then that's how telephone happens.
It's called.
How fan bases are created.
Dusty's not only on the wagon, he's driving it around neighborhoods hoping for someone to get on.
Well, I'm the only one with a microphone that can help.
Is it a
this wagon?
A little red wagon you're pulling behind?
It is.
How many people are you going to find?
It is a radio flyer.
Really?
It is a radio flyer. We still got plenty of room on this radio flyer, but you know what? I'll be fine.
Good, jump on.
Hopefully it can look like, what's that picture that they have the meme of? Is it the train in India? Where it's,
oh, everybody's, yeah. Where people are just holding on for dear lives.
Thousands of,
how is that safe?
By the end of the World Series, hopefully our red wagon looks like that with literally tens of people hanging off of it. On today's show, injury Armageddon for the NFL is going down. We will have a double case of the Mondays for you. We will have your Pac-12 case of the Mondays and your standard fare case of the Mondays coming up at 6:30 and 6:45. Upheaval in college football, our wide right, the blunders, mishaps, and miscues of the weekend. It is a
kickers.
Full wide right. Is the Pac-12 outside looking in of the Power Five conferences for the college football playoff? And we have hot seat news. We got Ducks, Beavs, Cougs, Huskies all losing on the same weekend for the first time in quite some time. A lot to get to today.
Time to wake up.
Steelers receiver Martavis Bryant is on the trade market after telling the team he's unhappy with his role. This comes right after Pittsburgh has their biggest and best win of the year.
Wasn't he suspended?
Yes, he
was. And the team stayed behind him and gave him another opportunity to come back. Now he's not happy? Oh, I guess that's how it works in jobs now. That you just say you're unhappy, and then you'd be traded to another team and make more millions. Right?
Why didn't you do that?
It doesn't work that way.
I mean, that would have been...
You need something that's called...
Oh, no,
you need
work.
Something called leverage.
Oh.
Leverage. Leverage helps in negotiations. Somebody told me that, too.
Bears fans already clamoring to get Martavis.
Well, I think there's a few teams out there that want a wide receiver.
Also, that wasn't the only upset, Pittsburgh beating the Chiefs. Broncos were beat down in Sunday Night Football by what we thought was the worst team in football, the Giants.
No.
What the heck happened?
No
23-10 in Denver.
Nobody's that bad.
What was that?
Nobody's that bad. They're all pros.
You know who looks bad right now? The Raiders.
Raiders look terrible.
The Raiders
quarterback
lost again.
Quarterback play. Raiders look terrible.
Yeah.
Falcons looked garbage.
Yeah.
Falcons. Great team. The Saints are the best team in the South.
What is a quarterback?
Anybody play defense? Is there any defense?
I said wake up.
The Doyers took a 2-0 series lead in the NLCS in walk-off fashion thanks to a Justin Turner three-run shot off of John Lackey.
The ginger. He has been kissed by fire like all of us gingers.
My goodness.
He went yod.
That
how about the timing of that, though?
On
a little bit of timing. Kirk Gibson. Yeah.
The anniversary of Kirk Gibson's walk-off in game one of the World Series.
I think Justin Turner should have went around and limped, just to limp in anyway. Do you think he knew it was the anniversary? I don't. Or
he said he did after.
How old would have Justin Turner been? Not alive.
88. What year was Justin Turner?
I don't know. Is he alive?
He might not have been alive.
That's 21 years. No. My math is bad. 31 years ago?
Yeah. This,
29
no,
years
you,
ago.
Wow. Justin Turner's 32.
Okay, so
Who knew he was that old? He's four.
He's four.
He turned November 23rd, 1984 is his birthday.
Justin Turner, totally free agent. Nobody.
Do you know what his nickname is?
Ginger Hammer.
No, Red.
Red.
Just Red.
Oh, I like Red.
Just Red. He just Red.
I like that. Kissed by fire.
They've got a 2-0 series lead. That series heads back to Chicago tomorrow for game three. Why wasn't Wade Davis in?
I don't know.
But Joe Maddon said that they were waiting for him to come in for a save situation. But
Joe Maddon freaked out. Good for Joe Maddon. I didn't see him get angry yet. It's the first time I've seen him do that.
Yeah. Probably put in your all-star.
Yeah.
You know.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
When the Portland Trailblazers start the regular season on Wednesday, it will be without guard C.J. McCollum. CJ suspended for coming off of the bench during an altercation against the Suns last week.
Yeah, I looked at this and over again, and you can argue it up and down, but the NBA has a rule. If you step onto the court during a problem, you will be fine. There's no argument against it. You can say, CJ, you knew the rule. Everyone else is doing the hold me back, bro.
Yeah.
And you're the only one that goes on the court. It sucks, but it's a rule.
Take a step onto the floor, one game suspension.
Done.
I will have exception to one aspect of this in that why didn't they just do it for the final preseason game against Maccabi Haifa?
I understand it. I know.
That seems...
Because you have to enforce a rule that actually has penalty because nobody cares about a preseason penalty.
No, I mean...
The regular season penalty, that sucks.
The rule is you get suspended for a game. You knew it happened. Why drag your feet? And you're suspending a guy for an action in a preseason game that really wasn't that bad. He didn't get into a fight, but you're suspending him for a preseason action for the first regular season game.
The only way a rule like that works is if you have a real penalty.
Well, yeah.
And because now you get to see that when one of your stars
gets hit. But you could do it for the next game, which is the last preseason.
Yeah, I don't like it either way, but unfortunately rules are rules.
Evan Turner, I love Evan Turner's argument to it. He's like, I thought CJ was above... Like that is in the hierarchy of NBA players, like they don't suspend guys that are that important.
Guys are all the same
for something that's stupid.
Everybody's equal.
So,
because somebody else got done before, right? You told me.
Oh, everybody. Well, it happened in the Suns Spurs playoff series. Mm-hmm. That's where like this rule really caught traction. It's like you had Tim Duncan 1 foot off, and then you had Amari Stoudemire 2 got suspended for the Steve Nash little altercation there. So I mean, it's something that has happened before, and
it's unfortunate.
CJ's got to know better.
It's unfortunate because now you get to go down as you didn't start this year. I mean, is that a big deal?
No.
Opening night, that's kind of a big deal. If I'm a starter and trying to be a perennial all-star, I don't get to start the season.
Unless maybe he has like a kicker in his contract that's like if you play in all 82 games, you get a bonus, but. That would have been a nice little thing, but I don't know if he has
that. Does CJ come out dressed and do warm-ups, or does he do the suit?
No, he's going suit. He's got to go full suit.
Full
suit. If he's...
That's too bad.
If he's smart, they should do what Jack Ramsey did with Bill Walton, which is say, go do radio for go do radio for this game. Bye.
Pat Connaughton start instead?
probably not.
No?
No.
No?
Maybe?
Does a rookie start?
Planet Pat? No.
No?
Because you don't have any guards that are rookies. You'll probably see...
Start all forwards in one center.
Yeah, probably Evan Turner. Let's go. Yeah. Let's go. Evan Turner, Mo Harkless, Al-Farouq Aminu, Yusuf Nurkic.
Dame.
Nope. No, not Dame.
Don't start him
Ed
either.
Davis.
No, he doesn't need to start. You don't need anybody ball handling.
Just go all of them.
Put Chief at the point.
Ooh, I like that. That's actually a good one. That's the guy you want bringing the ball to the floor. All right, where we start, though? Injury Armageddon in the NFL. Boy, another face of the league goes down, and potentially two. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right, football Armageddon for the NFL. We were having this conversation just last week about the faces of the league going down. Last week we saw Odell Beckham Jr. go down, J.J. Watt goes down, and one of the things that the NFL has built is a league that is built off of brands, not names. Well, another hit, and this will be tested even more, as Aaron Rodgers goes down with a broken collarbone, likely done for the year in what was... He's putting up MVP-type numbers this season and playing some of the best football that we've seen him play.
Have you ever heard the theory that everybody's replaceable and you move the drill, of course? And I've said that in football before, move the drill. What does that mean? Well, we have to move on. We have to get up, put our bootstraps on, and move on. You have to say, oh, I got this. Next man up. There's no problem. Here's the only caveat when it comes to that. That doesn't apply to Aaron Rodgers. It does not apply. There's a couple players in this league that you cannot replace. He is number one on the list. Brett Hundley, I think it's great. We're going to rally behind Kurt Warner, right? In 1999.
Right. Yep.
Okay, so that's a little different story here when you have that. He will go down probably as the, when I talk about Aaron Rodgers, and this isn't a slight to Tom Brady. Tom Brady's the GOAT. But Aaron Rodgers is as good a quarterback this league has ever saw in the history of the league with his ability. You cannot replace that. And you're done, Green Bay.
What do you
You're done. You can be a 500 team, probably. Your defense isn't that great. It's not good enough to be an elite defense. Offensively, you are not even close to the same. And that's the unfortunate part of having all your eggs in one basket. But this is football. This is the NFL. This is Aaron Rodgers. He's just not replaceable, and it's an unfortunate deal because the league is better with him healthy.
And it's terrible. The hard part for the NFL is going to be, you know, who steps up and kind of carries that mantle of being one of your faces for the NFL. I mean, the NFC was already pretty weak compared to the AFC this year. Mm-hmm. But now you look at Aaron Rodgers going down, and there goes one of your marquee names that you have in football. And if you're a Seahawks fan, it's actually probably one of the most dangerous teams to your fate and fortunes.
Yeah, the NFC is loving life right now. If you're said, oh, man, we don't have to go through Green Bay now.
Philly's celebrating.
Unless Aaron Rodgers has magical dust that he can sprinkle on his collarbone and recover by playoff time, which most definitely Green Bay could probably still get a wild card spot. Yeah. They're not going to beat Minnesota now.
You know, they're talking about it's on his right shoulder, so we have a throwing shoulder collarbone issue, far different than if it's his non-throwing shoulder.
Agree.
And when he goes down, I mean, that's a damning blow.
Does the league need to change its policy on what you do and how you hit a quarterback at all?
I understand there's a bunch of Packer fans that are sitting there and going, gosh, that is a hit that you can't have. And, you know, did he need to take him to the ground? And I just sat there and I went, that was kind of bang, bang. Yeah, he was a step late. Usually you see just kind of do a push and the guy will go down and it's no flag. Him going to the ground is really what hurt Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he landed right on top of him.
It's a legal hit. And that's what it is, right?
Done everything they can do.
Yeah, you can do everything you can. What are you going to say? Are you going to say, well, you can't take him down, you can't hit him at the knees? Well, they have already said that. You can't target his legs. Mm-hmm. You can't target his head. You can't continue. What is the steps? Is it two steps into the quarterback? You can't drive them to the ground.
Right.
Well, at some point, you still have to play football. And this is football. You're going to get hurt. And you just hopefully it doesn't happen to Aaron Rodgers. And I wonder, did you see the clip of Aaron Rodgers F-bombing him
as
he comes off the field?
Yeah.
I would be absolutely...
In that, I totally understand where Rodgers is coming from.
Yes, because you have to, in that emotion.
He knows his season likely just ended because...
Yeah, his team's done.
It was a play. It was after he threw the ball a little bit, but I don't think it was malicious in intent what Anthony Barr did.
No, nobody is malicious and full of intent when you're trying to chase a quarterback down and win a football game in a division and tackle Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he wasn't the only guy that went down, though, because Jameis Winston went down, too. Another NFC quarterback with the team with playoff hopes and aspirations. He went down early in the Buccaneers' loss. But at the same time, you had Ryan Fitzpatrick come in, almost won that game for him. But then that is another name, another...
Big name.
Guy, yeah, a face of budding quarterback.
But why are these quarterbacks going down?
Well,
because everybody is telling.
Why is everybody going down? This is just a weird year.
It's not just a weird year. There's a reason for why you get to see all these quarterbacks going down. Also, too, if you cannot run the football with any success, remember the teams that don't have as good a running game. Now, I think Tampa, when they got their running back with Muscle Hamster, he doesn't like that nickname. But when you get that running back, what are you going to do now to change up your game plan? The Green Bay Packers throw the ball 55 times a game. They're not going to put it. They're going to give it to Ty Montgomery, who's essentially, he is a wide receiver back there. But you're going to put an opportunity. You're asking your quarterback to be 55 to 60 times a game. There's going to be a pass rush. Yeah. He doesn't have the opportunity. You look at some of these other teams that are going to run the football more. They're going to try to run the football more because they don't want to get their quarterbacks hurt. But every quarterback is getting hit still in this league because we're passing the ball more than we ever have.
Yes, and because it's football. I mean, it's football. They're going to get hit. You're going to have these bang-bang plays.
But the numbers of pass attempts in the last 10 years, it's not even close across the NFL. Now, there were always systems and teams that were going to throw the ball a lot, but we're seeing more and more onus on moving the ball down the field with an arm.
There is also, the most malicious hit and kind of dirty hit, if you will, of the day yesterday. Alex Smith didn't even get hurt. Was it Mike Mitchell? Did you see that hit where he came up from behind and took him out at the legs after he threw the football?
The argument with that is that he was pushed and he was tripped as he was going in.
But
the dudes had a notorious past.
Yeah, jumping
over
the pile.
Grabbing guys' ankles, trying to break dudes' ankles.
Well, he's the guy that did the running start jump over the pile on a kneel down against Detroit.
Yeah.
And that is
kind of... And that's a Steeler thing. There's a couple guys.
What he does.
Yeah.
But my point to that is that that was the one that was more malicious than anything mm-hmm. else or late.
Yeah.
And the quarterback didn't get hurt. I mean, you can try all you want.
You're never going to protect them all.
It is a league where weird things are going to happen. How many times have we seen kind of Aaron Rodgers land with the guy falling on top yeah. of him and he's been okay?
The other reason why quarterbacks are getting more hurt now is that the league has put pressure. Here's how kind of how it works. It starts with you want to make the game more interesting, so you want more points. You want to move the ball by throwing it. So, okay, there's your first goal. So you're going to make more rules to make it more flexible for receivers to get open. So that carries into put more pressure on quarterbacks to throw the football. Okay, so with those two things happening, now you're making sure that the quarterback is the most biggest priority of all of football. So now with that in a row, what's the counteract on that on defense? Elite, speed, fast pass rushers. Mm-hmm. Combine all that. Now that you have that kind of size and speed, you never used to have the kind of speed, size, pass rushers that were mutants out there.
Yeah.
So put that all together, it's physics. As you get to see NFL, you get to return. You say, oh, we'll protect the quarterback. But now you have guys that run 4.5s and 4.3s and are 275 pounds. Yep. When you hit a quarterback that is as frail as – I mean, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a – I mean, he's physically okay. He's not a muscle specimen. Mm-mm. And they don't look like that. They don't look like D linemen. So they can't take the kind of hits. This is the progression of why quarterbacks are being hurt, because the guys are bigger and faster and they're more elite than they ever have been.
Yep. And that is not good for the league when you sit there and more the names and faces.
You can't protect
him
with kind of that kind of size. At some point in time, it's just an SUV hitting a bug.
So now you have Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt, Odell Beckham Jr. down. And it's dipping into the quarterbacks.
It's terrible.
Who is the other face of the NFL that is healthy right now?
It's Tom Brady.
I mean, those are your top four.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that safe to say your top four faces are Brady, Rodgers, Watt, Beckham?
Yeah.
And only one of them is healthy, and he's the four-year-old that eats nothing fun?
Who's the next dynamic, most interesting person left in the NFL? Share that with me. Where are they at?
Antonio Brown, maybe, but even he's kind of tamed it down this year.
Yeah.
Well, so is Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I know,
but
where is that person? Look throughout the league. Just ask yourself. You go, okay, where's that next guy that's going to be able to, well, we need to watch him play every week.
I don't know who that is right now. I mean, honestly, and that's a really good question. 55305. Outside of Brady, I don't know.
Might be Cam Newton.
Yeah. You kind of watch him because you don't know whether you're going to get one of the greatest performances of your life or you're going to get an absolute train wreck. But it may be Cam Newton.
I think I might know.
Do you trust that team is going to win though? And I would venture to guess no.
Well, and it might
you
not
don't.
Be.
Huh?
But it might be a guy in Houston.
It's Deshaun Watson?
He's thrown more touchdowns.
I don't think
already.
So. Too early.
I'm
too
just
early.
Telling you.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson this year is exactly what Dak Prescott was last year. He is the trendy upstart that is playing lights out. And it's interesting. You can't argue again. Houston is now interesting because of him.
I think I could get on board with that.
Wait, he's already thrown more touchdowns.
He's already thrown more touchdowns
than the entire team did last year.
We also see guys and defensive coordinators when they get books on a lot of rookies, they come falling back to earth.
Just tell me, but at least he's interesting.
He is interesting. And
he moves the needle. You know what the NFL does when they find something? They ride it.
Yep. But
they rode those Cowboys last year. Oh boy, did they ride those Cowboys. What are they now? Cowboys suspended and average. I heard people telling me that their offensive line is garbage.
Yeah.
What? That offensive line is not bad. Their schedule is lights out different than last year.
Yeah, that is actually
night and day different.
That is,
and they
true.
Lost one tackle.
Wait, hold on. Somebody said their offensive line was garbage?
Yeah.
Wow. I think you should just stop talking to that person.
I didn't have
or
listening. I just listened to that person.
Oh, is it on the radio?
Oh yeah.
Oh, wasn't me. So that's fair. All right. 55305. Who is that name? We'll get to that. And now it's time for your Pac-12 case of the Mondays. Something very rare happened over the weekend. The four Northwest schools all lost. Here's Crawford with SportsCenter.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4 Niner 5-6-7.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a Niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think I was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over text. Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305. That is the Bridgeport Beers text line. We saw something that we haven't seen in over a decade. Washington, Washington State, Oregon, and Oregon State all losing on the same weekend. I went back and I took a look. Would you venture to guess the last time that those four all lost when they played on the same weekend?
Is it a long time ago?
It is. It was a decade ago.
Okay, I was going to say 2007.
Yeah, well, that would be a decade. No.
I was 08 or 07.
September 29th of 2007 was the last time that all four Northwest schools played on the same weekend and lost. That was when you had UW lose to USC by a field goal. Washington State got thumped by Arizona. Oregon State got thumped by UCLA. And then Oregon lost to then sixth-ranked Cal. And it's been a decade plus now, a little bit about a decade and a month, since we've seen, or decade and half a month, since we've seen all four of the Northwest schools all lose on the same weekend. We've had some bad football being played over those times too.
Yeah.
And that kind of just goes to show you. I mean, that was when we had, what was it, 2009, when the Huskies went 0-for-12. And the 2008.
Yeah,
they went 0-for, and then you had Washington State going 0-for, but Oregon and Oregon State still found ways to win throughout the course of the year. This is the very first time that we've seen this happen in over a decade. That's a tough weekend for the Pac-12, and this is a time where the two Washington schools are playing best they have in over a decade.
Yeah, it sure is. I wanted to start off with this, and I think this is really good as a text comes in here at Bridgeport Beer's text line. Pac-12 case of the Mondays is apparently in the national conversation. If the Pac-12 loses one game, they're done.
Yeah.
And then I can say, you know, because Clemson and Syracuse and Clemson's still in. Well, Clemson. So that's another good taste, because you saw what happened this weekend, Friday night. It all started off with Friday night and then continued into Saturday. And it just was one of those weekends where you went, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, in the Pac-12.
Pac-12-wise.
It does seem to be like that loss has been the nail in the coffin. But I will caution that and say just wait a little bit longer, because you had Washington with their first loss of the year. Mm-hmm. Washington State suffers their first setback of the year. But the one thing that the Pac-12 can lean on is that you had USC's loss to Washington State was early enough. All of these are kind of, they're early enough to where you can recover. It is a lot harder historically. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
If you look at historically, right about that middle part of the year, you don't want to lose before like this past weekend, or you don't want to lose after this past weekend, because that is when you really start getting dinged for it. And we saw it right front and center. Clemson still has a lot more quality games left on their schedule where they could see an unbeaten. So does everybody in the SEC. So does everybody in the Big Ten, because they have unbeatens. There are no more unbeatens left in the Pac-12.
No, there's none, and there wasn't going to be any. And this comes to that argument that I say every year, as good as you want to say the Pac-12 is, which there's enough good teams in this conference where you cannot run roughshod through it. It's just not happening anymore in college football, especially in this conference. It's just not going to happen. The coaches are too good. The players are a lot better. The emotions of it, not only is at a time, and this isn't about kickoff times, but it used to be really easy when you wake up in the morning, you all play at 12:30, you play at 1 o'clock, it's really easy, it's routine, simple. Now there's so many different things. You play on Fridays. Yeah. You play late on Saturdays. You travel so much more than you've ever traveled before. There's so many more distractions. You have morning schedules versus afternoon schedules in practice. Everything is different. So with the chaos of the Pac-12, you got to look nationally and say, does this Pac-12, us out here on the West Coast, do you carry the same weight as the Big Ten, as the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC?
I think
after this weekend, this conference is looked at, and it is. It is this simple, folks. This conference is the weakest viewed conference in all of college football, and you can't argue against it, nationally.
Of the Power Fives.
Of the Power Five. Yes. And it's not even close. From every pundit to every person that covers college football, there was a complete narrative when this happened. Everybody's a poser except one. There's only one team that can even handle it now, and it's USC. And we said it from the get-go that this conference is USC and everybody else.
But it is that because USC has a big one this weekend when they have Notre Dame. And they can have that quality win against Notre Dame that rights the ship and brings it back. I also think that part of that narrative that you're talking about is because I don't think a lot of people are watching the teams in the Pac-12 very closely.
Nobody cares.
And that is the bigger issue.
Now, this is a national.
No, I know, hold on. But this is like the bigger issue is that it's just as quality of football as being played in the SEC right now. I mean, you have Georgia and Alabama who are carrying the torch, but nobody's criticizing them. They've won their schedule. They've had their schedule in front of them. There's actually more quality teams right now in the Pac-12 than the SEC.
Let me ask you this question, though, and see if this is part of the visual thing that when you see Pac-12 football, let me ask you if this isn't affecting. This is my own internal theory, but I think that because of visually, when you watch a Pac-12 game, it doesn't look as intimidating as an SEC game, as a Big Ten game. Because when you look, you may not think this, and everybody might be thinking this is stupid, Cam's crazy, but I believe in my heart that there is a lack of caring in this conference from not only just a fan base across the board to when you pan into and you look into the stands and you see this, is that there is a different feel and atmosphere compared to watching a midday game in the SEC and in the Big Ten.
Well, you had 20,000 people at the Cal Washington State game.
Terrible game on national television. It looked visually awful.
That is definitely.
It was terrible. That's a national game. If that game is in the Big Ten, the Big 12, or the SEC or the ACC, it is a sold out. It is complete pageantry. Look at all the big schools. There's just, we're not carrying the national perspective with that. We care about our football here.
Yeah. The USC game, that was relatively full, but again, when you're playing in a 100,000 seat stadium and you have 70,000 people in it, it doesn't look very full.
That doesn't work.
That's 30. I know, but you have 30,000 empty seats in there.
Tennessee has over 100,000. Nebraska has over 100.
No, they don't.
Michigan, well, they have 90 something. It doesn't matter.
You have Stanford. That wasn't sold
out.
Terrible
looking.
The Oregon State Colorado game. My wife and I were trying to eyeball that thing. We went to the game. I would say that thing was less than half full.
Wisconsin's
Crawford,
got a bigger stadium. All the Big Ten teams, all the SEC teams. Everybody's got more fans and more stadium size than all of the Pac-12. The only one that can argue it is UCLA. And did you look at what the Rose Bowl looks like when you play there? There's hardly anybody there.
Nobody is banging that drum like you're talking about here.
There isn't the visually that we don't care about football on the West Coast is a real deal, folks. It is real. And that's what the SEC, that's what all those pundits and everybody that's a fan of football looks at, is that we don't give an S.
And if you do look at it, this text is very poignant because they say, I don't know if the Cal game's best representation of the Pac-12 attendance with air quality, people's homes going up in flames down there. If you looked after Hurricane Irma, Florida State played in front of an empty stadium. They did. I mean, that is... And that was Florida State in their first game of the year. That isn't probably that is not a fair representation, but that doesn't account for why there was nobody at Arizona State, why there was nobody at Oregon State. That's just, you don't have a good team right now. If you were to play those games at Husky Stadium or in the Palouse, they're going to be sold out. But the reality is that the top teams were playing in empty stadiums on the road this weekend. And that's what people will look at, because people in, you know, the people in Chicago and people in Charlotte, North Carolina, or Montgomery, Alabama, they don't care about the air quality.
Or they
also
don't.
They're just going to go, wow, look at those empty seats.
Yeah, they look at those people. They don't really care about football out there.
Yeah. Well,
I'm telling you, from the people that I've talked across the country, this is what is being spread, is that the Pac-12 is a fifth-rate conference. They play nine conference games.
I don't think that. I don't think they see it as the fifth-rate conference.
But we're sitting here in Portland. You have to take your eyeballs and you have to go outside of the area and you have to look and listen and follow the people on Twitter, follow the ones that cover national. And what's the first thing out of the mouth is when they say is that the Pac-12 is an afterthought. Why is it continually viewed as an afterthought?
There were two teams in the top 10 before this weekend, you know?
No, I'm
– I mean, that – they're getting respect when they're winning games and they're up there. You don't think so?
There's a difference between getting respect by just saying that you have to put teams in there. But when certain teams lose in other conferences, when they lose, it's like, oh, well, they're okay. We'll keep them there. When other teams lose in this conference, even at a USC, and you drop 12, 13 spots,
yeah,
it's just, it doesn't make any sense to me other than...
A lot of that is, isn't it who you lose to?
No, it's just called bias. And it's okay to say it. It's okay to accept it and understand it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it right. And it just, that burns me in the inside. Because I know we have good football out here.
Yeah.
It does. It just burns in the inside.
Yeah.
But this conference, it's not about a team. Okay. This is the conference.
Yeah. All right. 55305. Send us your Pac-12 Case of the Mondays in. Let it rip. What else is bothering you on this Monday? Give it to us. Case of the Mondays continues on 1080 The Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about? Monday,
Monday. No. No, man. So good to no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A case of the Mondays. Part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan. Just
55305. What's bothering you on this Monday morning? Text us. Bridgeport Beers text line 55305. This guy just says, my case of the Mondays is Oregon State's red zone offense. Beavs putting up a fight against Colorado, but fall 36-33. They settled for 5 field goals in that game. They went 4 or 5, though, on those field goals. I sit there and I go, hey, you know, settling for field goals is one thing, but you got points on the board, and you needed them desperately. Mm-hmm. I thought Oregon State's offense actually played really well because they haven't been able to get to the
yeah. A lot of conspiracy theories there going on.
What do you mean?
Where was that offense been all year?
Yes. Well, yeah, that's a big question. A lot of people have been wondering, yeah. And I think that's a valid one. You put up 33 against Colorado, and the last time you were able to do that was against Portland State.
It's bad optics. It was good for Oregon State if you're looking. It was bad optics of where that's been.
Yeah. 55305. This text just says ESPN's happy you dub lost because as USC would be a bigger TV draw if they reached the Final Four.
Oh, I'd Bias completely sure. agree with that too.
Yeah. If you look though, I went and I looked back and we were talking about how the criticisms, it does always seem like Pac-12 teams, you're like, wow, that's a big fall. You know, outside of Clemson, every other team that has lost in that top 10 has taken a tumble that is equal to or actually bigger than what Pac-12 teams do.
Yeah, look, when Ohio State lost, now it was, of course, to Oklahoma.
Yeah, they only dropped 2 spots, I believe, yeah. when that happened. Against, that's a very quality loss.
I personally don't believe right now, even the way good recruiting is with all these schools, that there are teams in this conference that can go unscathed. I just don't think it's set up for this conference to be able to do that.
And that is actually almost a bright spot for the Pac-12 is that this conference, it's going to be hard to go unscathed through, you know that, but so are a lot of the other ones. And I don't know. I mean, historically, we only have 1 or 2 teams that go unbeaten every single year.
Right.
The scary part is, though, with the Pac-12 going out early and having their unbeatens done, you still have the Big Ten has got Penn State and Wisconsin undefeated. Mm-hmm. Ohio State's a 1-loss team. The SEC has 2 unbeatens.
CCB 206-14.
The SEC has 2 unbeatens in Alabama and Georgia. Yeah. Those 2 teams won't meet up until the SEC.
You know, the reason also, too, that I'm really voting my case of the Mondays is going into this college football season, I care more about than any other sport right now because I love college football, yeah. is that I'm voting for more and I'm hoping for chaos. I'm hoping for Notre Dame winning out.
Love it.
I'm hoping for something like Wisconsin being undefeated and Penn State being undefeated and looking for a Georgia also to be undefeated going in up against Alabama who's undefeated because I want the chaos there to the point where there's no more arguments of why we can't handle 8 teams in with 12 and even you can argue 12. I just think if we get there faster, we need more chaos. This conference, especially for the Pac-12, it would benefit them because – you're not measuring yourself equally with 9 conference games and teams that have bye weeks multiple times and playing this out-of-conference schedule where everybody but USC and then bad conference games. There's just – the conference is too deep.
Yeah.
I mean, for Cal to do that to Washington State on a Friday night coming off a beatdown from University of Washington, I can't even put it into perspective how confusing that is.
And that, to me, is
so
going back to what I said, and that I don't think enough people who, and I'm not just talking about fans on the East Coast, they're not watching and paying attention. I think the people that matter, the AP voters, they aren't watching. And that's why when the College Football Playoff Committee puts out their rankings in a couple of weeks here, I'll be very interested to see how the Pac-12 is slotted for them. Because if you watch it, how many times have you flipped on a Big Ten game in the morning on Saturday morning? You're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, this is
I did. I watched
garbage.
All the games this week. I went back Friday and on Saturday, and I watched the games. I watched
Isn't
the Big
horrible?
Ten.
Horrible?
I watched the ACC. I watched the Big 12, and I went, this is really boring football.
It's not better.
No.
Not only is it boring, but it's not good either. Yeah. Like, you sit there and you go, there is just as much depth in the Pac-12 as all of these other conferences that are getting that.
It is a real issue that our conference here does not get the same type of visual entertainment in the middle of days on Saturdays. It is a real issue. If you don't believe it, fine. Don't believe it. You're choosing to ignore what's right there in front of you, that when you are not nationally compared to everybody else during the middle of the day, too, you just don't get the same logic. You're just not going to be viewed the same.
Yes. We will have much more on this. I like this is good discussion. We have a lot of very good feedback coming on the Bridgeport Beers text line 55305 as well. Getting in some standard case of the Mondays. There's a lot of people like this guy's just going Packer and Duck fan. Enough said.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, you have quarterback problems,
yeah,
bud.
That hurts.
You have big time quarterback problems. Yeah. But there is a bright spot.
For
Oregon. I went to go and look up the penalty issues in the box score at the Go Ducks website and just to look up the penalties. And the on the scrolling across the banner, the Ducks practiced yesterday, and they said Justin Herbert, in Rob Mosley's little write-up there, Justin Herbert was practicing yesterday with the team in helmets and shoulder pads, which broke. I don't know how a fractured collarbone heals in 2 weeks, but you got to be optimistic of that non-throwing shoulder.
This Cougar fan says, also case of the Mondays, Bill Moose.
Oh,
yeah,
that's worse than the loss, folks.
He got Nebraska to pony up, and they stole their AD.
That is a bad, that's a bad, big loss for the Pac-12 and for Washington State specifically.
That hurts for them.
Now they're firing up the rumor mill on, hey, oh, by the way, Mike Leach to Nebraska, get that rumor going. So, he doesn't fit there.
I don't know.
I don't think he fits and works there.
Oh.
They're too nice of people. How well do you think they're going to react to Mike Leach berating players and calling them
any more than Bo Pelini? I don't know at this
point. That's why Bo Pelini got run out. Bo Pelini was winning 10 games a year.
See, this texter says, stop crying and win something, Pac-12 fan. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I've been saying that now for the past, since Oregon made the national championship run. You're not going to get any credibility until you win a national championship in this conference. And I don't care who wins it, but you're not getting anything. And if USC wins it, that's fine. And whoever wins it, you need to get it.
How about this one? Duck fans still finding a way to blame Helfrich in their case of the Mondays. Helfrich sucked at recruiting. He left Taggart with no backup quarterback. Frustrating.
I'll say this. Oregon had quarterbacks in. You know what they did? They all left because they couldn't start right away.
Yep.
They all jumped ship. Now, does that have to do with character, or does that have to do with the type of kid you recruit nowadays when they see one quarterback comes in there and one kid's kind of good? They don't want to go compete.
And they're saying, I'm the same age as this guy?
And said, I'm going to sit behind this guy. It's called non-competitive kid.
And it's the same problem.
It's called everybody gets a blue ribbon kid, and he doesn't want to compete.
It's the same problem that they had when Marcus Mariota was there.
Mm-hmm.
The backups started transferring left and right,
cupboard
was bare when Marcus left. So people were freaking out. Then you had to go the grad transfer route. Now you still
That's
don't have
a quarterback.
That's
not a Mark Helfrich problem. That is a quarterback problem across this country.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Just look at what happened with Georgia. Jacob Eason was the number one recruit in the country. And now you have a young man. There's already rumors that Eason wants out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No, not at all. Because this is what happens when someone takes your job.
Because they have a freshman that is coming in. They got the number one pro-style recruit in the country, too, by the way, committed for them. But Jake Fromm has come in and he's playing.
Lights out.
Yeah, he's thrown for like 1,100 yards, 12 touchdowns, only 3 picks. And now they're saying Eason wants out. You know what? Is everybody saying he's going to transfer to Washington now? Because he's from
No, I haven't heard that at all. No.
Isn't he from Lake Stevens?
He is from Washington, but he was recruited across the country. He had offers from everybody.
Yeah, and he played really well for them.
He might want to go to USC if Sam Darnold's out.
Ooh. Start that one. Just let him go to Alabama and get it over with.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll go ahead and do that.
And get Jalen Hurts' job.
55305. That is Rich Four Beers. Text line. Send us your case of the Mondays. We have upheaval in the top 10 of college football. The Pac-12, not the only conference hurt with surprising upsets this week. Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.